Heavenly Father, as we listen to your word in this message, we ask you to bless us to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our souls. James chapter 1, verse 21. We love you, Jesus.
This message, we're going to talk about King Asa, king of Judah, and how he died and why he died. But first, we're going to talk about quacks, drugs, and druggies. Surely most of us have family members or friends who claim they have some kind of a mental or psychological deficiency, a condition, and a need for a prescription drug that was prescribed to them.
I'm going to assume that most, if not all of us,
know that or realize that, because 70% of Americans are on prescription drugs, many of which are prescribed drugs for their mood or their psychological or mental condition.
So in their mind, that is, those who take a psychological drug or a mood drug for the condition that they were told they have for their spiritual or mental condition are completely convinced that they need this drug because they bought into the diagnosis of the quack or the doctor who told them that they had such and such a deficiency, or for whatever reason they needed to take this drug or drugs. Now, first of all, we should realize that the Bible warns about false prophets who make merchandise of you, and those false prophets are not limited to the church world, but also they are in every segment of society in this fallen world, including the pharmaceutical or the drug industry. These doctors get paid to prescribe drugs, that is, above and beyond what they get paid to be a doctor. They get money from the drug companies like salesmen, which is what they are. The more they sell, the more they prescribe, the more money that they make. Just follow the money.
But think about this. These people blame their sickness. These individuals that most of us have around us, they blame their quote-unquote sickness or the diagnosis, whatever it was that they got from the doctor, whatever he told them they had. They blame it on something they can't fix, supposedly. So they have to drug it, and they expect those, have you noticed some of them expect those around them to put up with them? Because, I mean, after all, the doctor told them that they have this condition.
So this actually becomes their excuse for not walking in the way that is right in the sight of God. So, for example, someone I know is actually on these mood drugs, and they get upset when there's an interactive conversation. They can't stand anybody talking while they're trying to talk. They are very easily irritated or irritable, which is completely unnatural. And so that gets them very upset. It's like they're always on the edge because of buying into the lies and taking the drugs from Satan's pharmakia peddlers. So these people become unnaturally hypersensitive when they are foolishly buying into the lies of being diagnosed as an ADD or ADHD. That has no place in the life of a true born-again believer. No such terminology, diagnosis, or assessment from the world's so-called doctors. And so the root issue is the same with all men, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the sin, iniquitous nature that we have is the root problem. And Jesus alone is the divine solution, not the counsel of the ungodly, not mere men, and not drugs. God's word tells us that those who trust in man are cursed, Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Also, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord, with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And then it says to be not wise rise in thine own conceit. So when we continue to grow in operating through the lens or the scope of the Word of God, we're going to realize that sin and Satan are the core issues of man for which Jesus came and died to forgive our sins and to make us whole from the inside out, spirit, soul, and body. Remember 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9 through 12, even him whose coming is after the working of who? Of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, in who? In them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth. They didn't receive the love of the truth to be saved yet, and therefore they aren't continuing in the Word and learning and growing and seeing everything through the eyes of God's truth. Notice, because they were deceived into unrighteousness and unrighteous paths because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. See, they sought the help of the physicians, like King Asa sought the help of physicians, and he did not, in his disease, seek the Lord. In 2 Chronicles 16, verse 2, it says, and Asa slept with his fathers. He died in the 140th year of his reign. So many people are dying, even spiritually, because they do not seek the Lord concerning all things, spirit, soul, and body, but they seek to the modern prognosis, prognosticating false physicians, and therefore they are not having faith in God. And without faith in God, it's impossible to please him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And isn't it interesting that people are so gullible and absolutely stupid that all you got to do is throw some pawn on TV with a white coat like he's a doctor and a stethoscope around his neck. Whatever he says, they're going to buy into. And these people are paid actors. Unbelievable, intentional ignoramuses. Notice, with all deceivableness
of unrighteousness. Remember, Jesus said that if the days weren't shortened, even the very elect would be deceived in Matthew 24. Think about that.
Notice the term, with all deceivableness. Notice, it's going to be so very spiritually potent and in the wrong spirit, the spirit of Satan himself. It's going to be so potent, even the spirit of Antichrist, and it's already happening. Those who are not readily receiving, devouring the truth of God, of his word, and living by it, beginning with repentance and the crucified life. That, according to the Bible, is our only protection against being deceived by the enemy in this last hour as we look for the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And many who claim to be saved have bought into all of these lies during the COVID con days. They put on the mask, and then it's going to progress into the mark of the beast because of the deceivableness of unrighteousness due to them not loving the word of God. The Bible says in Hosea 4:6 that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected the knowledge of God. We all have a Bible, so there's no excuse. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. The fact that people would be so ignorant as to put on a mask to rebreathe their own poisons, carbon dioxide, toxins, is clear proof that they don't love the truth, and they are walking with the state. They follow and obey the state and not the Savior, acting as if the state has their best interest in mind and not the Savior. Wow. Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now, somebody might say, well, where did Jesus say not to wear a mask? Well, creative design is that you would breathe out your breath. You would not rebreathe it. You would breathe it out into the environment. creative design, God-given common sense.
If they cite me a ticket or arrest me for not wearing a mask because I have not and will not, I am going to be one happy camper and the ministry is going to be well-funded. It is very much in need of me because they're going to get
a federal lawsuit slapped on them so fast they won't know what hit them. 18 U.S.C. 242. Deprivation of rights.
But you can see by all this, just jumping to obey unlawful orders that actually violate the constitutional rights of Americans. Of all people, the people professing to be Christians, they're going to be the first ones standing against all this and not throwing away like a cheap rag the liberty that was secured by the blood of hundreds of thousands of veterans and by our forefathers in the Constitution of the United States of America. Unbelievable. So we already see this great deceivableness, this one who is coming after the working of Satan, this Antichrist system, which is now on the face of the earth, organized from all the way around the globe. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now notice, the effect of Satan is going to mainly work on those who are going to perish. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because here's the reason why people are being deceived, right? Here before our very eyes, and that's going to continue until Christ comes and puts down all rebellion. Here it is. You ready? This is verse 10, 2 Thessalonians 2. Because, here it is, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. There's no such thing as a saved person who's not walking in truth. Saved isn't just some event that happened in the past and a little badge you wear. Jesus said through Paul that he would have all men, God would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Jesus in John 8, when many had believed on him, they came to him and he said this to them in John chapter 8, verse 30 through 32. Jesus said unto the Jews that believed on him, if, notice they believed on him, that's equivalent to salvation. They were saved. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But you see, to those that believe, Jesus didn't say, oh, you're once saved, always saved, man. You're in like Flint, and there's nothing else that you need to do ever. And if you ever do a good work, that means you're trying to work for your salvation, even though Jesus commanded and told us in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Those who obey God know God. They obey him out of a relationship with him and out of the love for him. And yet the once saved, always saved crowd has demonized obedience to God when the Bible commands obedience. You're not obeying God. You don't know Jesus. You're obeying somebody. Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants obey, his servants ye are to whom you'll obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Everyone's obeying somebody, either the dictates of self or Christ. You're either a slave to Christ and set free and blessed, or you're a slave to sin through the worship of self and the refusal to repent and serve the Lord. 1 John 3:8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of God. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth his brother. 1 John 3:8-10. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11, it tells us that even a child is known by what he doeth or does, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. Jesus said, you shall know people, and that should begin with ourselves. We should know ourselves by what? The fruit of our lives. You shall know them by their fruit. You shall discern them. We are to be fruit inspectors, and that must begin by inspecting the fruit of our own lives. I don't know about you, but many times I'll be conversing with brothers and we'll have a meal together or whatever, and the next day and even at night I'm like rehearsing what I said, checking myself out in order to continue to keep my body under, lest after I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Examine examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5. The Bible tells us to judge, first of all, ourselves. 1 Corinthians 11:31 and 32. If we would judge ourselves, there it is, we should not be judged. The Bible didn't say if we should or would judge others. There's a place for that. That's not going to happen until we begin to judge ourselves and get all the logs out of our own eyes before we try to go get a splinter out of somebody else's eye, which the Bible says makes you a hypocrite. That's what Jesus said. We're not to be preoccupied with judging others. We're to be focused on what God wants to do in us. I don't know about you, but I don't have the energy, capacity, or time to be judging others unduly, because it's a full-time job to keep this fool crucified with Christ. I believe every one of you that walks with Jesus knows exactly what I'm talking about, because that flesh, if it isn't completely crucified, it's going to be acting up. It's going to be manifesting the works of the flesh, which are damnable, in Galatians 5:19-21. 1 Corinthians 11:31-32. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wow, that is such an amazing passage. If we don't want to be condemned with the world, ultimately, we must allow the Lord to chasten us. And that comes from complying with Him and letting His Word be the final authority of your life. That's the problem. People don't love the Lord, therefore they don't love the truth, and they are being turned over. Going back to our passage here in 2 Thessalonians 2:9-12, they're being turned over to strong delusion. Why? They don't love the truth. We're going to read about a man named Asa here in a minute concerning this matter. And I can tell you, this right here is at the root of everything we see in this world and every person. If we love the Lord, we love His truth. There is no separating. Jesus said He is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's only by the truth that you're going to be made free. Now, a lot of people get mad at me because sometimes I speak straight and give the full potency, 100 proof, a raw, naked word of God. Well, they're really not mad at me. They're just mad that I didn't coddle them like most of the false preachers of today, the many false prophets that Jesus said would come and deceive many, or epidemic, if you haven't noticed. If you're in the Word and you love the truth, you have noticed, and you're going to continue to notice. They want somebody to scratch their little ear, itch their ear, and make them feel good, to condone them in their sin, or simply not preach against what God calls. Man doesn't define sin, God does. And He's got a lot to say about it, and a lot about holiness. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12:14. Now, why is it that you never hear that verse? Some of you listening have never heard that verse. You're sitting under a absolute, and you think you're a Christian because you go to church. The Bible never says go to church. It says forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You can do that every day, any day, with two or more, in a home, in a coffee shop, at a restaurant, with God's Word open, and prayer being made, and fellowship, etc. The four simple elements of true New Testament fellowship found in Acts 2:42. The earliest saints of Christ did these four things in fellowship, and that would be Acts 2:42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That is, they continued in the Word of God. That's why I said should have an open Bible. Make it the King James Bible, some fake little version, one of these new versions that's been tampered with and destroyed and stripped of divine truth. Fake Bibles, they're everywhere. Use the King James Bible. The apostles' doctrine, that's the doctrine that the apostles were given by Christ and brought to the world. No different than when Jesus gave them the bread after He blessed it and broke it, and then they gave it to the people. Those apostles of Christ, the original, gave the apostles' doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, to the Word. So it's the Word of God. That's what the apostle doctrine is, the doctrines of God in the Word, the Scriptures, the Bible. Fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. Jesus often ate with His disciples. Hallelujah. And that can represent also communion, having communion periodically. So the Word of God, apostle doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. Now, how hard is that? Not very hard, but we think we got to go find a church. Well, you are the church. Connect with people, at least one person. I know it's difficult in this last days. I hear it from people all the time. But ladies, connect with other ladies who are truth lovers. Gentlemen, men of God, connect with other brothers. Brothers that are real, man, they can correct you real quick if you need it. And they can receive the humble correction of the other servants of Christ around them. They're teachable. They're humble. They're not full of pride. They love the Word of God and uphold it as the final authority. That's where we're at right here. It's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And for this cause, what cause? The fact that they received not the love of the truth, verse 10. It's not enough to be saved. You got to endure the end. You got to continue in the apostles' doctrine. God would have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. That's immediate upon salvation, and it's going to be a process through your whole life. But you have to choose to love the truth. You must choose to endure sound doctrine and not try to bend the Word of God to fit your life. That shows you're unrepentant, and you're sure for hell as if you were already there. Tell you that on the authority of the Word of God right now. And for this cause, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that is God. Notice, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. So God turns them over to this thing, and they are strongly delusional. They have demon, that they should believe a lie. So he gives them this assurance that they're in the truth because they don't really love the truth, so that they will believe a lie. This is frightening, folks, and it underscores the necessity, the utter urgency we should have in embracing the truth of God and clinging to it. Nothing in my hand I bring, only to thy cross. The truth of the cross of Christ is where this all begins. When you come before God and surrender and repent, laying down your life, praying afresh to the Lord, telling him what you've done and naming it for what the Bible calls it. You've committed spiritual idolatry. You've loved the God, the false, sinful God of self, and not the one true God who says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else, in the book of Isaiah. So notice the last verse in this passage, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God is going to be glorified because he's just, to damn the souls of everyone who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. There are three D words here before we depart, maybe four. The first one, verse 9, this is after the working of Satan. It's actually Satan who God allows to send, give a strong delusion to those who don't love the truth. But you could say D for devil right there in place of Satan. And then the second is deceivableness, verse 10. And the third is going to be delusion, verse 11. And the fourth is going to be damned or damnation. There's a D word, if you will, in each of these verses, these four verses, 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 12. Now, so what does this have to do with quack druggies and their drugs? Well, it has everything in the world to do with it, because they're choosing to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, Psalm 1:1, instead of the counsel of the Lord, the Word of God. So let me get this straight. Many refuse to go to God, who created them, to give them a sound mind and to make them whole. Go to him in repentance, laying down their lives and following Christ, putting their faith in Christ. But then they're going to run out to some quack to get drugged, to numb their mind, to alter their state, and still pretend to be trusting the Lord. That's delusional, man. You're turned over to strong delusion. The Bible said it is the Lord that heals the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. That would include the mind and the heart. If God can heal one, he can heal another. And Jesus announced that that was his mission statement, to heal the broken in heart. Am I being mean? No, I love you, man. I want you to go to God and get saved for real. But wait a minute, I was saved 10 years ago. Or what? Listen, I don't care about the past. You shouldn't either. If you're walking in lies, you need to repent. You're in trouble. I'm saved as a little badge. You better get saved afresh. Get rid of the fairy tale that you're once saved, always saved. You, my friend, are responsible to obey God, and your disobedience is absolutely sin in the eyes of a holy God, and it will damn your soul. If you die in sin, you, me, or anybody else, you're going to hell. The wages of sin is still death. Romans 6:23. Also Ezekiel 18:4. The soul that sinneth, it shall die or be separated from God. This is why the Bible tells us so much about being ready for the return of Christ. Not being like the five foolish virgins who refused to remain in a relationship with Jesus, the bridegroom, ran out of oil as a result, and were sent strong delusion, were deceived, and guess what? They were shut out of the eternal kingdom with the bridegroom, Jesus. Many be called, but few will be chosen. Remember, it was only 8 people in the days of Noah that was saved. Everyone else was killed in the flood and went to hell. This is interesting. From Adam to Noah's flood was 1,656 years. If we assume for this period an average population doubling, time being 74 years, takes 74 years for the population to double, then the world's population would have been 10.9 million people when the flood hit, and only 8 were saved. Remember, people lived longer back then. Methuselah, I believe he was the oldest man that ever lived, 962 years, I believe it was. The book of Genesis is so important. Saints, highly encourage you to read it and read it again and pore over it and study it. So then the world's population in the days of Noah was 10.9 million approximately at the time of the flood, and God only saved 8 people. And remember, Jesus said that as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man returns, Matthew chapter 24:37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark. In other words, they were living life with no regard for God, their creator, and judgment to come. And then Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Interesting, and it should invoke or provoke the fear of God in each and every person who names the name of Christ. How does this relate to quacks, drugs, and druggies? The idea that his condition, this fellow I was talking about earlier, the one he says where he gets irritated and causes him to get upset when other people speak and interrupts him, what is that? That's a lie, the condition that he has. And this person is completely selfish. That's the problem. That's the real condition. It's sin. Sin is man's core issue and nothing else. Sin is man's problem, not anything else. And anybody leading to believe, like James Dobson, the devil, who said self-esteem is the greatest problem with people and young people in particular, that's ridiculous. Sin is the core issue of men, and it always has been since the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3. In fact, the premise for the flood, for God destroying the earth or everybody but 8 people, is right there in Genesis chapter 6, where corruption filled the earth, verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days. Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. See, that's a powerful definition of the sinful nature of man. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was what? Only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And then he said, I will destroy men of man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, and it repented me, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, verse 12, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. All flesh. Romans 3 coincides. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there is none good, no, not one. Ecclesiastes 7:20. No such thing as a good person. We've all sinned. Just look at the Ten Commandments, go through them, and ask yourself if you have broken them. Have you had another God before the only true God? That's the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. Of course you have. You've had yourself in place of him. You're a spiritual adulterer and an idolater. That alone, if you've broken one of God's laws, you're guilty of breaking the whole thing, and you're worthy of eternal damnation. Have you ever used God's name in vain? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. How about this? You shall not steal. Have you ever stolen one thing? Have you ever lied? Etc. We're all guilty. Ecclesiastes 7:20. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. How about Jeremiah 17:9? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So God establishes that all men have sinned and are absolutely in need of his mercy. mercy and his saving grace through Christ. And it's only God that can save us. And he told us that we're not to forget all of his benefits, Psalm 103, verse 2. We're not to limit the Holy One of Israel, Psalm 107, 41. That is a sin, and it causes great destruction to come to the lives of those who do not trust God, but rather they trust man, they trust themselves, they trust something else other than God. Remember Hebrews 11:6, without faith, that's faith in God, it is impossible to please him. Romans 10:17, faith, that is, in God, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Are you a man who is living according to and embracing the truth of God, the counsel of God? Psalm chapter 1, you see, because you're either a man that's walking in the counsel of God or the counsel of the ungodly. Psalm chapter 1, we're going to find out right here who's blessed and who's cursed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. If you want to be blessed, do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, in our context here, does that mean you can't go to any doctor for anything? No, no, no. Luke was a physician. There's nothing wrong with physicians, but your ultimate trust must be in the Lord, not a physician. As we're going to see in the life of Asa, which we're going to quickly review in just a minute and see what happened in his life. So blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, the delight of the godly, is in the law, or the word of the Lord. And in his law, in the word of God, doth he meditate day and night. See, anybody walking in with the Lord is meditating on his word and living according to the final divine authority of the word of God and not the counsel of men, just because they have some degree of the world and wear some long white coat. That doesn't make what they're saying the truth. God's word is to be final authority over everything that's taught of the faith, in religion, or in the world, in any realm of the world, including healthcare. And he shall be, that is the blessed man, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's the blessed man. But then it turns the corner here. Here's the contrast. Remember, you're either blessed or cursed, and it's according to how you cling to the Lord. And if you cling to the Lord and you walk with Jesus, you're going to be a man that meditates in his word, that studies, that memorizes, that searches out the word of God. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so. See, that's most people confessing or professing to be Christians right here, regrettably. The ungodly are not so. They think going to church is good, or following and listening to some preacher to tickle their ears is a good thing, and that's all they need. That's absolute disillusionment. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Those who go to the quacks for their mental state and mental health, I would say in most cases, they're trusting men, and by going to these psycho quacks, and they want everybody else to understand that they have this condition, the one that the quack gave them, this diagnosis, and therefore they have an excuse to misbehave, to be rude, or to be self-centered. That's the problem right there. The self-centered sinfulness of the individual. It's not what the quack told them in most cases. It's the sin in their life that they've refused to repent for God and get it all washed away in one instant. They want to justify the disregard for others. They want people to understand them because, after all, they have this condition, right? Well, the real condition is sin, and that's what true disciples are going to embrace and preach. We've got a sin problem. We owe a debt we cannot pay, and Jesus paid a debt he did not owe for our sin on the cross. And also, the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart, and nothing else, and only God can solve it. Only Jesus is the solution, and he came to heal the broken in heart, and that begins when a person repents. And I'm telling you that I believe, and you can look at this the way you wish, but I'm telling you as a man, that a child of God, I believe that there are so many of us that have never really repented, and that's why we have the continual plagues in our lives that are a result of sin, because we've never truly repented. Many people have said a prayer, and whoever was leading you in that may or may not have done it correctly. Many are not doing it correctly. You got to give them the law and drive them to their face, on their face before God in conviction, and ask them if they're ready to truly repent, lay down their life, and surrender completely to Jesus. I don't lead people to Jesus unless that's what I'm preaching to them. Now, I'm not going to preach anything else to them, because that's the original gospel. Man is evil and sinful in heart and must be born again by surrendering, repenting to the one Savior, Jesus Christ. So the psycho doctor diagnosed some of these people with ADD or ADHD. And so in their deceived mind, that's their condition. It's not sin. It's that they have, well, they got ADD. And they live out of that false paradigm. And all the while, they do not realize that they're being exploited and played in order for those doctors to get money in part. Those doctors can't prescribe a drug until they assign some diagnosis for it, whether that diagnosis be real or fake. They have to come up with something to diagnose and to name as the disorder in order to justify prescribing the drugs that they get paid by Big Pharma to prescribe. Have you ever heard the word pharmakia? It's the Greek word, and if you don't think this is rampant, you should if you're living in this world. And when you realize that 70% of Americans are on prescription drugs, many of which, probably the largest portion, are on these mental drugs. You see a new one on TV all the time, right? And 2 months later, it says there's a lawsuit. There's lawyers on there getting a class action lawsuit together to sue the drug company, Big Pharma, for the adverse effects that it had on them. We're going to read about that when we talk about King Asa in just a minute. Notice here, speaking of Babylon, Revelation 18:23-24, for by thy sorceries, that's the Greek word pharmakia. Remember, that's where we get pharmaceutical and pharma from. That's the root word. For by thy sorceries, it's a combination of witchcraft, magic, sorcery, and drugs. That's what this is. It's an unholy concoction. For by thy sorceries, Babylon represents the world. By thy sorceries, pharmakia, were all nations deceived. Every nation is being deceived under Big Pharma, under the proliferation of drugging people, as many as they possibly can. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that was slain on the earth. So this is an integral part of Babylon, which is present and increasing today, and is going to be destroyed in 1 hour. Revelation 18. Pharmakia is medication or pharmacy. This is the Greek rendering. That is, by extension, magic, literal or figurative, sorcery, witchcraft. There are three references in the King James Bible. But Jesus asked us, where is our faith? If our faith is truly in Him, why do we trust earthly physicians the way we do? And they're counsel. Why don't we go to the Bible? Somebody's written in the medical field or watched some video to get a diagnosis, especially for our mental state. Remember, Jesus, when He cast out the devil out of the man that was possessed with devils, the demon-possessed maniac at Gadara, it says in Mark 5 that that man then sat at Jesus' feet in his right mind. Jesus is the one that can put you in your right mind. All the drug is doing is numbing you. It's a band-aid. It's not going to get to the root of the problem. So remember, the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear. A lot of people have so much anxiety, and that's a lot of times why they go get these drugs for their mind and their anxiety. But the Bible says of children of God that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, if you're a true child of God, it's because you repented and you've got a sound mind. You walk in peace. Great peace have they that love thy law, the word of God, and nothing shall offend them. They're not walking in fear, because perfect love from their heavenly Father cast out all fear. 1 John 4:18. See, when you're one with God, who is love, and Jesus is the Prince of Peace, you have the peace of God that passes all understanding, no matter what's going on around you, because you're in His Word. You're meditating in it day and night as a godly man. And great peace have they that love thy law, thy word, and nothing shall offend them. Psalm 119:165. I love Proverbs 1:33. Whoso hearkeneth unto me, the Lord says, shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. They will be quiet even from the fear of evil. Isn't that a blessing? Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. There it is. Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. Hebrews 13, 20. And what does he do? He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. They comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, friends, there's so much to say about this topic. We've got a category on safeguardyoursoul.com called Psychobabble, P.S. Just go on the drop-down menu and look it up, and you'll find some really good stuff there. Let's talk about King Asa now. Anybody know what happened with King Asa? When Asa ruled in Judah as the king, this is during the divided kingdom, and you had Judah and you had Israel, and Baasha, king of Israel, had come against Judah, or come up against Judah to attack them, and Asa, king of Judah, paid king of Assyria to help them with this battle. So Asa, king of Judah, creates an unholy alliance with a foreign king, an ungodly heathen king and nation called Syria, and he didn't trust God, but instead he trusted the arm of the flesh, as we read about in Jeremiah 17. And I want to point out that Jeremiah chapter 17, beginning in verse 5, says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man." And that's exactly what Asa was doing when he hired the king of Syria and the armies of Syria to help protect Judah against Israel. So, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." Those who are trusting in the quacks, those who are trusting in anything else but God, the counsel of the ungodly, their heart has departed from the Lord. They have departed from the faith. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Then verse 6, Jeremiah 17, 4. "He shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh. He'll be blocked and prevented from blessing, but shall inhabit the parched places, the dried places, in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited." Those who trust the arm of the flesh, who trust anything or anyone or anybody's counsel above or even equal to God's, are going to be cursed. They brought that on themselves. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord." There it is again, the contrast. Those who trust the Lord are going to be blessed. Amen. Like we read in Psalm 1 and Psalm 23. "And whose hope the Lord is." The Lord is our hope. "For he shall flourish." Listen to this. "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall yield a cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing." Finishing up in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 with the story of Asa, verse 7. "And at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria." In other words, you made a unholy alliance with the world. You listened to the quacks. You went to them instead of to me, God saying. You trusted man. You didn't trust me. Remember, the Bible says, trust in the Lord, not man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. It's real simple, saints. If we're going to be blessed, we got to trust the Lord and put him as the highest authority. That doesn't mean that all doctors are evil, that if you break your leg, you don't need to go to the doctor. You probably should, but your ultimate trust in your life in everything is God, not man. I don't believe God would ever send anybody to go get what he alone can provide as far as your mental state, your soundness of mind and heart. I just don't see it, and I believe I'm absolutely biblically correct on that one. That gets a lot of folks mad, but I don't think they can disprove it. Jesus created all that is. He raised the dead. He opened blinded eyes. He healed the sick, and he couldn't make a drug. Of course he could have. He could make anything. If he did all those things, creating drugs for people would have been just as easy or much easier. So why didn't he do that? Because that wouldn't be his will. I don't believe Jesus drugs people to give them something he's already provided through repentance. When you get refreshed after you repent and he gives you a sound mind, you're not going to need a drug. That's a cheap substitute. So Hanani comes to King Asa and says that he had rebelled. Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God. That's the key. God is a jealous God. And if you don't trust him in everything in your life, he is going to turn you over to strong delusion. Therefore, is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand? Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou did rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. In the past, Asa trusted God, and his enemies were delivered into his hands and conquered. Verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord, he says, the prophet says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. In other words, they're trusting God, not the counsel of men. Herein thou hast done foolishly, Asa. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. There's people listening to me right now that have been trusting in the counsel of men, creating unholy alliances with men, and they have nothing but turmoil. They have wars going on in their mind and in their life, and they can't even sleep well. But God's calling you, Jesus said, to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. Remember in the Gospel of Mark and Luke where there was a woman with an issue of blood, and she had suffered many things, it says, Mark 5:26. Of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Under the counsel of the ungodly, all she did was grow worse, even though she gave everything she had. But she repented and came and touched the hem of Jesus's garment, putting her trust in the Son of God, that he alone had the divine virtue to bring healing to her life. Do you think there's anything too hard for the Lord, beloved? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Genesis 18:14. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? The answer is a resounding no. Jeremiah 32:17. Our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Jesus said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Amen. Mark 10:27. Notice Isaiah 59:1-2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, your sin, have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. See, their hands were defiled with blood, if you will. It goes on to say they were guilty of sin, and they were separated from God and all of his blessings because of this sin, and they needed to repent and come back to the Lord, which he desired for them to do, so that he could bless them. Otherwise, they were turned over to strong delusion that they should believe a lie and ultimately be damned. God's power has not diminished one iota and never will, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. But you see, there's somebody listening to me that needs to repent so that the Lord can bless your life in the way that you really need it to be blessed. But you've sought the counsel of men. You have not trusted the Lord with all your heart. You say you do, but then you go to other sources, quote unquote, sources that are not the solution, and you found yourself in utter despair, shame, guilt, and wars. Just like we see here when the prophet is telling King Asa that because he is going to the world and not God, that he has war, conflict. He's self-conflicted and embattled and cannot have peace, which only comes from he who is the Prince of Peace when and only when we repent. Notice here in verse 10, 2 Chronicles 16, then Asa was wroth. He was furious, that means, with the seer, with the prophet of God. And he didn't like the counsel. He wasn't enduring sound doctrine. He was convicted and didn't want to repent, and put him in a prison house. So he attacked the man of God for giving him the truth. Paul said, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Galatians 4:16. Then it says, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. Anybody else ever get somebody absolutely furious at you because you will not bend and believe their heresy? I get false teachers all the time. I don't talk about them much, attacking me for preaching and holding to the truth of God. Now, if you can show me it's what I'm saying is unbiblical, let's talk about it. I don't want anything but the truth. But if you're believing lies and then seeing the truth as the lie, it's because you're turned over to strong delusion and you're the one that's the heretic that needs to repent. And then it says, and Asa oppressed some of the people. And watch what happens. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. Verse 12, and Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. Notice, then he died. He slept with his fathers and died in the 41st year of his reign. Notice, in his disease, Asa sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. He did not put God first. He trusted the physicians. Notice, of this passage, John Wesley wrote, he sought not, or he did not humble himself before God, but put his confidence in the skill and faithfulness of his physicians. His making use of physicians was his duty, but his trusting in them and expecting that from them, which was to be had from God only, was his sin and folly. He put too much trust, in other words, in the physicians instead of putting all his trust in God. Then John Wesley finishes. He says, the help of every creature must be used with an eye to the Creator and in dependence on him who makes every creature that to us which it is, without whom the most skillful and faithful are physicians of no value. So Adam Clark of this passage wrote simply, are we not taught by this example with Asa, who died trusting physicians and not God, are we not taught by this to make prayer and supplication to the Lord in our afflictions with the expectation that he will heal us when he finds us duly humbled, when the end is answered for which he sends the affliction, unquote. The psalmist said that he was blessed to be afflicted because in his affliction he sought the Lord in his word. Psalm 119, I believe it's verse 71, and this is what it says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Thy word, or the law of thy mouth, is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver, the psalmist said. What a beautiful thing. So in his affliction, whether it be an attack or a physical malady, or the psalmist sought the Lord. And he said, there was a blessing that I'd been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes, or learn your word. And look at Paul. God allowed the messenger of Satan into his life. And Paul even sought the Lord three times. But God didn't want him to be lifted up in pride because of the abundance of his revelations that God had given to Paul. So God had a purpose for allowing that into his life, as he does with us. And Paul even sought the Lord three times to be delivered. But this was the answer of God. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfectness. I wonder if people that go get drugged to numb their mind are doing so, or drunkards, or whatever they're doing with this witchcraft, trying to control the situation. Paul didn't do that. He suffered through it and said, was able to say, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in these infirmities, in in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So Paul endured these things and saw the blessing of God in them and learned that the grace of God through these afflictions, no matter what they were, the mental anguish. I see a lot of people that go drug themselves and go to the quacks. They're trying to shut down the conviction of God in their life, or the lack of peace in their life that comes because they haven't repented and been born again. And many of them are good church members, if you will. But all good church members go straight to hell when they die. See, only the true disciples of Jesus who are trusting Him, not their church or their association, as relates to religion, the religions of men. See, that's the only ones that are going to be in glory, like the eight who God saved in the days of Noah. Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. Only those who trust in the Lord with all their heart are going to be with the Lord. Make no mistake, friends. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Notice we're going to finish here with William McDonald's testimony of what happened with Asa. He says, King Asa chose to work contrary to the way of the Lord. So the Lord afflicted him with a foot disease. Remember, Asa created an unholy alliance with a wicked king instead of trusting God to protect Judah from Israel's advances. So that's how Asa chose to work contrary to the way of the Lord, not in faith toward God. So the Lord afflicted him with a foot disease, but he still refused to repent and turn back to Jehovah. His heart was hardened. And William McDonald's finishes with this. Asa tried the physicians instead of trusting God and shortly thereafter died. Some think that the physicians may have been magicians or spiritual healers. And that goes directly with pharmakia, which is a mixture of witchcraft and drugs. God bless you, friends. Thank you for listening. And remember, let's trust God, not quacks, drugs, or let us not become druggies and victims of Satan's evil system that is only in place to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. In the name of Jesus, may it be upon your life. May you turn to the Lord completely with words of confession of your sin and turn your life over to Him afresh today. And He will refresh and bless your life and to be fruitful and blessed, spirit, soul, and body, and with a deep peace that passes all understanding, as only He can do. God bless you, my friends, and please pray for the fruitfulness of the outreach of safeguardyoursoul.com. Be a part of it in prayer and in support. God bless you, friends. Thank you.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.